last week on Almost Entirely Sports.
I think the Chiefs have a better chance of scoring 40 than they have of scoring under 24. They have a better chance of putting up 43 than 23, if that makes any sense. Better chance of their highest scoring game than the lowest. I think the Chiefs are going to score 30-something in this game. I don't think Le'Veon Bell's going to be invisible, but I think he's going to be beatable. I don't think Antonio Brown's going to be a ghost, but I'm guessing he's not going to look like an MVP. I know it's bizarre. I know it's the Steelers. I know you've got your flashbacks, but I look at this game, and I sit here on a Friday, surely to be proven wrong on a Sunday. But I sit here now on a Friday, being shockingly confident the Chiefs are going to handle their business against the Steelers this weekend. Let's save baseball. We're in a rain delay. We're in a rain delay during the MLB playoffs. Let's save baseball. Here's what I want to say, baseball. Everybody does crack. Perfect! We've saved Major League Baseball! The kids are into it again! I know a lot of people get really bent out of shape about, like, ooh, we need our respect. I want national media respect. The Chiefs need three... I can't look! Watching through your fingers throws every game. We have 18 minutes left, and we haven't actually talked about anything! The thought is, ooh, Steelers could bounce back! Ooh! What about Big Ben? Antonio Brown! Le'Veon Bell!
When the guy that you... When you traded Jimmy Butler, and then the guy you used to... The pick that you used... I know. I'm not trained for this.
This isn't exactly how I phrase it, but this is the more concise way for me to be saying this. This show's better when I prepare more.
Duh?
Isn't this a sports show?
Being like a sports talk radio show host used to be what I wanted to do with my life. Used to be very exciting to me.
Almost Entirely.
I want to yell at little kids. I want to tell little kids that they suck.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
You suck. You're adopted. Your mom's too hot for your dad. She's going to leave him soon. Get ready for it. Who do you like spending your weekends with better, your mom or your dad?
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
This is a template on how to lose your show before Alex loses his job.
We got time.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Is there a word that means both love and hate in some language? I that the show.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Nobody's nerfed. I might have been a little off base about a couple of things. Holy moly. I was telling Beards before the show, I think today's show's gonna be good. If you're not super thrilled with what you saw yesterday from the Kansas City Chiefs, I hope you can at least find some solace here with us on Almost Entirely Sports. I'm Joshua Briscoe, Beards McFly, the behind-the-scenes poobah who controls everything.
If only that was my title.
You should get business cards. As always, you can listen to the show on ESPN Kansas City, 99.3 FM, 1510 AM, or on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. We broadcast it on Facebook Live. You can watch the show as we go barreling through space together today. So we can go back to the things I was wrong about, and I'll be able to tell you why I was wrong. I actually think, strangely enough, the things I was wrong about weren't poorly calculated. They just weren't carried out by the Chiefs yesterday. But there are a lot of sub-stories, a lot of myths, I would say, about yesterday's game that I want to just start chopping down. Because I think you're going to find lots of places that you can reasonably place the blame of yesterday's loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Lots of places you can place the blame. Lots of places, though, that it's easy to try to place the blame where you absolutely should not. First of all, I actually want to start with a very quick little point counterpoint that I saw pop up on Twitter last night. Point? It's just one game.
It's true. It is.
Counterpoint. When this happens in January, it's not just one game. It's the end of your season. In case you had any flashbacks to January in Arrowhead against the same team. We weren't doing this show then. I was doing podcasts. I was doing the Ref and the Kicker podcast all throughout last season. I could go back and play that show again today, and it would take you 45 minutes before you realize that it wasn't about yesterday's game. There are a lot of similarities. Not a ton in the game. Not as many in the game as you might think. There are a mind-boggling amount of similarities in the fan response to what happened yesterday. So that's what I want to set up and knock down here today a little bit. I want to go through the myths that are being believed about yesterday's loss to the Steelers. Some of them you can believe. Some of them are silly. Let's start with the defense. Half of the side of the ball. I'm going to give you plenty of reasons here that the defense did make some mistakes. And I'm going to tell you some places where the defense should have been better and could have been better. And with the benefit of hindsight, places where I would have changed things that I believe would have made the defense better. Benefit of hindsight, but fixable. But I think before we can do that fairly and reasonably, we've got to figure out where the blame belongs and where it doesn't. Yesterday's loss to the Steelers was, unequivocally, not the defense's fault. Not Bob Sutton's fault. Not Derek Johnson's fault. Not Marcus Peters' fault. Not Le'Veon Bell's fault.
But they couldn't stop Bell.
Not even Philip Gaines' fault.
Hit him.
Thank you, disembodied voice of the fan. The loss yesterday was not the defense's fault. It was not Le'Veon Bell's fault. It wasn't even Philip Gaines' face mask's fault. Because here's the thing. And I think this could be the whole argument. I'm not going to let it be. I'm going to take my point, and I'm just going to smush it into the ground so hard that by the end of it, you're just looking up going, okay, please stop, I get it, it's not the defense's fault. But I think I can probably wrap up this argument here. If you had this exact defensive performance from the Chiefs, this exact defensive performance that they had yesterday, even including the safety at the beginning of the game that was not the defense's fault in any way whatsoever, if you had that exact defensive performance and the Chiefs would have won that game 20-19, you would be popping champagne today. You would be wearing your red tie or your red polo or your red cargo shorts into work today. You'd be wearing your Zubaz, floating at the top of the highest cloud in the NFL, looking down on all of these other flawed teams as your team continues to find a way to win, which is something that we very often attribute great success to, and vice versa. Not if the defense did anything different, but if the offense would have put up 20. Exact same defensive performance, offense puts up 20. You are thrilled today instead of despondent. You would be stoked. Here's the thing, though. And this is, it's crazy, but it's true. The perception of Bob Sutton's defense almost entirely hinges on the performance of the offense. It's silly, but it's true. Because the defense was not great. But with the way that this Chiefs defense works, with Bob Sutton's philosophies, with this group of players, with this mindset, with this personnel usage, they're going to give up yards. That's been the case for as long as Bob Sutton's been in Kansas City. The Chiefs lose whenever those yards turn into points or whenever the offense can't score. Yesterday it was on the offense. The defense has been pretty darn good about limiting those points. The defense gave up 17 points in this game, and 7 of those points would not have ended up on the board if Phillip Gaines didn't have a face mask fully encased in flubber. Did you see the movie Flubber, Beard? You remember Robin Williams, right? Was it Robin Williams?
I do remember Flubber. Yeah, it was Robin Williams.
Little green bouncy boy?
Yeah.
Flubber on his face mask.
This about sounds right.
Nice sentence.
Thank you.
Good sentence structure. Yeah. The hell was that? Turn off your mic. You're in purgatory. 2 minutes. In fact, that Phillip Gaines play, Gaines was in perfect position. Phillip Gaines played that well. I know everybody's firing him today. I know that everyone's trying to drive him to get a job at McDonald's or literally anywhere that's not the Kansas City Chiefs. I get it. Phillip Gaines was in really good position on that play. And even then, Bob Sutton's defense gave up 10 points. Phillip Gaines' face gave up 7. And the offense gave up 2. I have no ire for that defensive performance. And again, you can't cut Phillip Gaines. I'm sorry. He made some plays. He makes some plays. He gets burnt sometimes. He fails to catch passes. He's also an average 4th NFL cornerback. Steven Nelson was the 3rd corner on this team. He got hurt. Whatever. For what it's worth, also, I like DJ White, but the Chiefs don't like him as much as I did. Again, I digress. You can't cut Phil Gaines. And he was in position on that play. He just didn't catch a pass he should have caught. Regardless. Are there issues with this defense? Absolutely. In fact, there are some things showing up on Twitter today I think are fascinating. NFL Matchup tweeted, the Chiefs are 20th versus the run whenever they're in the nickel package with 5 defensive backs up there, 5.3 yards per carry, and 25th in dime, giving up 8 yards per carry, giving up 91 rushing yards per game in a dime package. And it makes sense, logically. Light defenses with lots of defensive backs get run over. And the Chiefs play a lot of defensive backs. We talked about this several times this year, of all the times that the Chiefs and Bob Sutton's defense would drop 8 guys into coverage and then let the defense try to get there with 3 guys pressuring the quarterback. Chiefs have been doing a lot of that. And literally every other matchup this year, it made sense. The Patriots, the Eagles, the Chargers, Washington, the Texans, all of those teams had quarterbacks that scared you more than the running backs scared you. So you would drop 8, you would at least drop 7, you would blitz rarely, and just throw as many defensive backs into the mess as you could and try to keep those quarterbacks limited. That was not the case for Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger still does not look like the same guy. He did not play particularly well yesterday. He hasn't played particularly well all year. Le'Veon Bell is the place where you can lose this game. And it wasn't. That's not where the Chiefs lost this game. But that is the place where you can. And the Chiefs still limited him by way of points. But I would have liked to have seen this defense have a little more heavy personnel, a little more Reggie Ragland, a little less Daniel Sorensen at linebacker depth. But again, that's how Bob Sutton's defense works. And they gave up 17 points. 7 off of Phil Gaines' face. So, I can't have this fight about the defense. Another myth that's been all over Twitter the last, 12 hours? I guess 24 hours, really. Close to that. Doesn't matter. The idea this is a bad matchup for the Chiefs. Oh, it's just a bad matchup against a good team. What are you going to do about it? This was not a bad matchup. This is why I said all the things I said that I was wrong about on Friday and throughout the week. Not a bad matchup. Last week, the Jaguars ran for 231 rushing yards on the Steelers. 231 yards on the ground for Jacksonville last week against Pittsburgh. For comparison's sake, the unstoppable Steelers run offense yesterday put 194 on the Chiefs. 40 yards less than what the Jags put up on the Steelers last week. What do the Chiefs do? The Jags and Leonard Fournette run for 231 against the Steelers. The next week, the Chiefs and Kareem Hunt run for 28. 28 rushing yards with, still, miraculously, still, the league's leading rusher in your backfield. And Tyreek Hill, one of the most terrifying players for defenses to have to deal with. I don't love handing the ball to Hill often, but that opened up your run game. The Chiefs followed up a 230-yard rushing performance from the Jags against the Steelers defense last week with a 28-yard rushing performance of their own the week after. That is not a bad matchup. That is bad game planning. That is a very Andy Reid-esque poor commitment to the run. Not shocking. Just sad. And if the Steelers were, perhaps, give them credit, if the Steelers were, perhaps, just putting everything that they had out there to stop Kareem Hunt, then Travis Kelce should have ended up with more than 37 yards. Tyreek Hill should have ended up with more than 34. It's a problem. Also, offensively, we'll eventually get to Andy Reid and the field goal thing, which I actually think might be the least important of any of these conversations, but we'll get there. Alex Smith in this game wasn't good. Sorry, he wasn't. He was 2016 Alex Smith. The whole offense was 2016. It just felt... you could have replaced Kareem Hunt with Charkandrick West. You could have replaced Charkandrick West with anyone, because he wasn't out there very often. He got hurt. It was the 2016 offense all the way to Alex Smith. Which, you don't have to say that it was a regression for Alex Smith, but you can't say he didn't look like a damn 2016 clone shot through an alternate universe and dropped into the game yesterday, having changed not at all from last time we saw him at the end of 2016. That's what he looked like. And he was behind a struggling offensive line, and he made a couple of good plays. I'm happy to concede that. Those are also things that happened last year, whenever this team couldn't go far enough. This was the thing that we saw last year that inspired me to come out this last offseason and go, you know what, I'm still really worried about what the Chiefs are going to do, I don't know, at home against the Steelers. I was more convinced about this, you know, at home against the Steelers and the playoffs. I didn't expect yesterday to go the way it did, ever. But yeah, these are the things that give me pause. Showed up again yesterday. Anyway. Made a couple of plays with his feet. Had a couple of nice glimpses of, there it is. Had to do it behind an offensive line that was struggling. The same offensive line that he played behind last week. But when the game was somehow, miraculously, still there for the taking in the fourth quarter, Alex Smith failed. That's not really debatable. I mean, it was an F. Alex Smith gets an F for a couple of the big plays you have to make. That's the whole game. The whole game comes out as a 2016. He got 20 out of 16 on the game. I'm not even going to harp really aggressively on that play where he missed a wide open DeMarcus Robinson in the end zone. Because even though those are the game-changing plays that make great quarterbacks, he was getting hit. He was getting pressured, at least. He got hit after he threw it. He was getting pressured. He rushed it. He sailed it. If that ball comes out and ends up a foot lower, DeMarcus Robinson catches a touchdown completely alone in the corner of the end zone. And those are the plays that take your team to the next level. Those are the things that you do to make yourself a Super Bowl winner. But it wasn't terrible. It's the type of play you have to make whenever you're struggling against a team at home and you need to flip the game on its head. But whatever. It wasn't a terrible play. The next miss to a wide-open DeMarcus Robinson was terrible. It was just atrocious. Just like throw up in your mouth. Kind of awful. Robinson was open. He was just wide open. An open field. Just kind of standing there. Like jogging around. Being wide open. And Alex Smith had plenty of time, plenty of space for the Alex Smith that we've seen this year. For the Alex Smith that I want to believe in, and in many ways, the Alex Smith that a lot of people want me to believe in. The Alex Smith that we've gotten sold over these first 5 weeks, that Alex Smith has to make that throw. You just have to. I don't expect Blake Bortles to make that throw necessarily, although frankly, it's a throw that I guess every NFL quarterback has to make. But if that play gets run with Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, rest in peace, we'll talk about him later, or Dak Prescott right now, Carson Wentz right now, Kirk Cousins right now. Not the first throw that Smith missed to DeMarcus Robinson. That's a throw that Brady and Rodgers make. I don't know if anybody else really does. That second throw is one that every good quarterback has to make. And it doesn't immediately mean that Alex Smith sucks again. That's not what I'm saying, and I think if you listen with any sort of critical perception, you get that. It's just a throw you simply must make, or you lose. And that's what happened. He didn't make the throw, and the Chiefs lost. excuse me. Plenty of places throughout this game the Chiefs could have done much better. But at the end of the game, when nothing had gone well, nothing had gone right, it was there for the taking. And that's the play that sticks in my craw. That's the play that I'm going to remember whenever I think about this game a month, 2 months, 3 months from now. I'm going to remember that the Steelers controlled the pace of the game pretty well, that it was really bad at halftime. Second half was a little bit better. But I'm going to remember a clean enough pocket for Alex Smith missing a wide open DeMarcus Robinson. That's the lasting image. And then second place is, of course, a football bouncing off of Philip Gaines' face and then into the waiting hands of Antonio Brown. But it just felt like 2016. Head to toe, just felt like 2016. And this, by the way, this does not validate my cynicism, my preseason cynicism. It does not validate it. It just brings it back up. It's just, as I try to repress that cynicism. I've been trying to repress it for a good long while. It comes back up to the forefront with this game yesterday. But it doesn't validate it. But this is exactly the thing that I'm afraid of. This is exactly the thing that I can't stomach, that I can't do with living through again. It's the exact thing that I was talking about through the offseason of, oh man, I don't know if this team can hang with the big boys. And the Steelers, by the way, don't seem like the big boys. I did not see a great team on the field last night opposite the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are still a better team than the Steelers are. I really do. And there's some, I don't know if there's some sort of Steeler mysticism that just blankets this team. I don't know if there's an Andy Reid problem. The Chiefs played a bad game. They got pretty run over, but held up when it comes to points. The offense, again, I'm not going to say regressed because I don't know what they're going to do on Thursday. I'm guessing that this offense is going to play pretty well on Thursday in Oakland because that defense is not good. But the offense looked like 2016. Andy Reid looked like 2016. So I've got 2016 cynicism back. I think at this point, that's only fair.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I think what you just convinced me in one question is the Chiefs are the Royals and I'm living in hell.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Welcome back to the show. Let's go to the Facebook comments here real quick. I don't know if real quick necessarily. I'm going to go to the Facebook comments. We're going to talk about Andy Reid's field goal call here in a second. We'll hear from Derek Johnson and Marcus Peters a little bit later. Both of them were really good in post-game yesterday. But I want to peel over to the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. Again, I'm not going to say this is my favorite way for you to consume the show. But, like, I bought a webcam. So this would be in higher definition. And it's nice because it's a good time to... It's a good way to see your comments coming in through real time. You get to see the show as we also talk about the show. So share the post with your friends. Just check. And if you're not watching the Facebook Live, come check it out between 4 and 6. Just pop in for a little bit. Ask a question. We'll try to get to it. And there are a handful of things in the comment section that I want to talk about. So we're going to do that now. Again, Facebook.com/ESPN Kansas City is where you can find it. Caleb said that Le'Veon Bell looked like a freight train, which is accurate. But very patient freight train. And again, he was, I know he was rolling, but I cannot make that I cannot make that my biggest gripe of the day. Also, Caleb said red cargos, that's a thing, and I hope not. I said it, and as I said, I hope those aren't real. We don't need those. No one needs red cargo shorts. Thomas said, "You're not going to mention the defense falling on its face? Are you really going to take one game by itself and say this is the Chiefs, but not the last 5 weeks?" Sooner or later, the Chiefs are going to lose. It sucks, but we're not going undefeated. All right, so three-part question. Let's go backwards. Yeah, they weren't going to go undefeated. They played a bad game yesterday. We're going to have to criticize that as it goes. We have to criticize the places where they fell short because these are mistakes I'd love to not see happen again and again, like, I don't know, January. I don't think the defense fell on its face yesterday. I think the defense was on the field a long time. I think the defense could have been, as I mentioned earlier, could have been put out with a heavier package, with more Reggie Ragland and less Daniel Sorensen playing linebacker. I get that. It wasn't perfect, but it also gave up 17 points, seven of which should have been intercepted and turned right back around. So I'm not super angry about that.
The casual watcher that I am, yeah. The way I kind of read it was just, it felt like the Steelers were still getting anything they wanted. They just weren't getting points out of it.
Yeah.
It was like we were terrible on defense. It felt like up until we got to like the red zone.
And that's been the story of Bob Sutton's defense for as long as he's been in Kansas City. We had this conversation all the time.
It just felt more highlighted yesterday.
Right. Well, and this is the thing. And actually I tweeted this out and I don't know if it was in my notes to talk about later or not, but we'll do it now. I think it's really interesting that the Chiefs' defense, as sort of a philosophy, will say, hey, we are comfortable giving you the little stuff, and we're going to keep you from scoring. And the Steelers are an offense that say, hey, we're comfortable picking up these 6, 7, 8-yard chunks, and we'll just get what we can. The Chiefs would give what they wanted. The Steelers would take it. All the way up until there were points on the board, and the Chiefs held them down. I can live with that defense. Defensively, I can live with that. I will not gripe about 17 points given up defensively, seven of which should not have ever existed. They should have gone the other way. And I also am not in any way whatsoever taking one game and saying that that is more important than the Chiefs you've seen over the last 5 weeks. By that exact same logic, though, I'm not going to say that the 5 weeks we saw, I didn't say that the 5 weeks we saw overlord everything else that we've seen from this Chiefs team with Andy Reid and Alex Smith, etc. I'm not saying that this one game is more important than the five we just saw. Oh God, on PTI, the question they're asking right now is questions about Big Ben answered. Big Ben's best play yesterday went off Philip Gaines' face. So no, PTI. No. God. I'm looking away from the televisions. But I don't think that this one game renders the last five games useless. I don't think the five games we saw at the beginning of this year renders the last 3 years useless. Fair. The most recent thing we've seen is sort of the heaviest weighted. And also, it does matter that the Chiefs had this game at home against the Steelers in a very likely to be rematched game that they could be facing again in a few months. I don't think it's absolute law, and I'm not going to say that there's nothing to view from the last 5 weeks. I never said that in any way whatsoever. The Chiefs that we've seen over the last 6 weeks are the 2017 Chiefs. Now there's a real smudge on that resume that looked a lot like 2016. That's all I've said. Thomas also says, you obviously don't expect Alex Smith to be human. No, I do expect Alex Smith to be human. What do you expect him to be? Because this is the thing. The expectations about Alex Smith are kind of my whole thing here. Expectations of Alex Smith got us through, like, well, how, I don't know, a month of shows, right? The whole preseason, a whole bunch of Sports Sunday.
Lots of Mahomes talk.
The reason that we had all of those conversations about Mahomes and Alex Smith and the offense and Andy Reid, the baseline for those conversations was, what do you expect from Alex Smith? I told you what I expected from Alex Smith. I expected an up-and-down quarterback who loses to the Steelers. Well, bleep. That is exactly what I expected from Alex Smith. The first 5 weeks, he did not look like that guy. The last 5 weeks, Alex Smith looked like someone who would be better than that, who would hit the wide-open DeMarcus Robinson to win the game late in a messy, messy game that you have no business winning but are in at the end still, which is exactly what happened last year. That's exactly where this team went wrong last year. Those plays didn't get made in a game that they had no business winning, but absolutely could have won. And yesterday, those plays were very, very obvious. So what do you expect from Alex Smith? You tell me. Coming into this year, my expectations were a really good game or two, some average games, some stinkers. We've gotten better than that this year, but by all means, we've gotten a pretty good Alex Smith this year. I can't really complain. Can you complain about yesterday? Yesterday was bad Alex Smith. Saying that phrase makes me not expect Alex Smith to be human. No, I expect Alex Smith to be able to hit an open receiver at the end of a game. I will not apologize for that. Come on, man. Clinton asks, biggest concern, offense or defense? The offense, I guess. I mean, again, we saw the defense perform well enough. Okay, if this was a 20-19 final score, we'd all be popping champagne right now. So my concern, and I think the Chiefs are going to probably go score 30 against Oakland on Thursday. I'm going to get that out there now, so whenever I'm wrong about it, then you've got a lot of material to work with. I think the Chiefs probably score 30 in Oakland. And that doesn't mean that there's not an offensive problem. Because what happens if the Steelers win the AFC North, they win the wild card game, and they come to Arrowhead, the Chiefs coming off of a bye as the one seed in the AFC? You worried? You nervous? I am. What are you worried about? I'm worried about the offense not being able to put up 20 points. That's my worry, because that keeps happening. Also, Clinton says that DeMarcus Robinson was always open. Elite? !! Repeating. I was actually having this conversation on Twitter earlier today. It seemed like DeMarcus Robinson was always open. The silver lining to those two plays where Alex Smith missed wide open DeMarcus Robinson's is that, hey, DeMarcus Robinson was wide open. So, yeah, that's a silver lining for sure. I'm very interested by a guy who's super fast and has strong hands. That's a receiver I can get behind. I'm cool with that. We're going to see a lot of him because Albert Wilson's kind of in and out. Obviously, Chris Conley is done for the season. J.O. Cheston, the special teamer. I think we're going to see a lot of DeMarcus Robinson this year from here on out, and I'm excited for that. I'm more excited for that than I was for more Albert Wilson, to be sure, even though he's played well this year. I'm saying before this season, I was more interested in DeMarcus Robinson than Albert Wilson by a good margin. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to DeMarcus Robinson, no question. Let's talk about Andy Reid and the field goal thing. I said before fourth down, I think I said before third down, I would run the ball twice here. It was like third and three, I think. I would have run the ball twice. I would have just gone up the gut to Hunt, and then I would have come out with one of those little tricky triple option things where Smith puts the ball in Hunt's gut and sees where that's going, and then he takes it back if he doesn't like where that's going, and then he shovel passes it to Travis Kelce if he doesn't like what's in front of him. That play's worked really, really well, really, really consistently. I wanted that play on fourth down. But I was absolutely behind the choice to go for it on fourth down. You're down 12-3. It's fourth and two from the four-yard line. That gives you a better likelihood of scoring a touchdown than damn near any other offensive opportunity you're going to get all game. I have no complaints with saying, you know what? I believe that this offense can pick up 2 yards on this play. For a four-point swing in a game that had been this offensively inept for the Chiefs, you want those points, you need that touchdown. One of the things that's driven me the most insane over the years about Andy Reid is whenever he settles for field goals, whenever touchdowns are right there, just right out in front of you. I want touchdowns, not field goals. You don't win these games with field goals. I think he made the right call by going for it. I think he made the wrong play call. And also, should he have challenged the Demetrius Harris drop whatever thing? Probably. Yeah, I would have. If you're on the hook to go for it on fourth down, just throw the challenge flag. It's worth it. Would it have gotten overturned? I don't think so. Would I have overturned it? Probably not. But it's worth throwing the flag because the catch rules are so bizarre. I mean, it seemed like he had possession, obviously broken the plane. Sure, give it a shot. I think that's worth the gamble. But I also don't think it would have been overturned. Worth a shot, though. Would have liked to have known. But the play call in that situation did bother me. All right, whenever we come back, I want to look at some of the halftime stats, some of the takeaways that I had at halftime, which will uncover a larger problem the Chiefs had coming into this game that does go back to coaching. A little less with Bob Sutton than with Andy Reid, but both of them could learn from their mistakes here and hopefully will, although that hasn't necessarily been a very successful trend, the Chiefs learning from their mistakes while losing at home to the Steelers. Surely next time will be different.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We all have things in this life we can't fully explain. What's the purpose of life? Is there a God? And why do the Chiefs cut Jeremy Maclin?
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Good point, Beards. Good point. Offense wouldn't suck to have Jeremy Maclin on this offense. I think we could use that. I am pretty optimistic about DeMarcus Robinson. Swerving back over to the Facebook comment section again, because I like it there. You can watch the show at facebook.com/ESPN Kansas City. Thomas came back in with, shoulda, coulda, woulda. Excuse me. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. I apologize. The team as a whole sucked, from the play calling to the defense letting the Steelers control the pace of the game, which I think is way more important than scoring countless times. Smith does need to make those plays for sure, but we shouldn't be putting ourselves in that situation in the first place. Really glad that you're here for the show, Thomas. I appreciate it. I genuinely appreciate the back and forth. You're definitely wrong about the idea that controlling the pace of the game is more important than scoring points. Because this is just not true. I'm pretty sure that came through far douchier than I meant for it to. Because I really don't want to sound like I know I just sounded. But yeah, obviously, like the pace of the game matters. Time of possession matters. But points, though. I mean, fast-scoring, explosive offenses who don't control the pace of the game, or a Tyreek Hill punt return for a touchdown is way more valuable in that 15 seconds
than a nice 90-yard, 14-play, 8-minute drive that ends in a field goal. Or no points. I'd much rather have literally any way of scoring points. Slow and methodical drive getting points, fine. Quick score, fine. Does it help the Steelers win? Yeah. But, like, did it? Also, you can blame either side of this, by the way. Again, the halftime stats I promised. One of them was especially thrilling. The first down of the game for the Chiefs came with 1 minute and 39 seconds remaining in the first half. That's not the defense's fault! Time of possession's a two-way street. Like, yeah, the defense has got to force the ball back into the offense's hands. The offense has to do bleeping anything. The time of possession battle, the Chiefs were losing on both sides, to be sure. The defense wasn't getting the Steelers' offense off the field, and the offense could not stay on it. No question. But again, if this offense scores 20 points, which against this Steelers team is so doable, we look at this so differently. So here are a couple of halftime stats that I wrote down at halftime that are signs of a really crummy game plan. And this is a problem for the coaching staff as a whole. Reed, Sutton, Matt Nagy, whatever. The first down of the game came with a minute 40 remaining in the first half. Kareem Hunt had 4 carries for 12 yards in the first half against a team that gave up 230 rushing yards last week to the Jaguars. 1 target, no completions to Travis Kelce. The Chiefs had 6 net yards at halftime, according to ESPN Stats and Info. Their fewest in the first half since 2011, week 14 at the Jets, which I believe was right before Todd Haley got fired. And I know that you were all really frustrated by Le'Veon Bell and the 10 points that the defense successfully scored in the first half, but the Chiefs had 3 points. It was 10-3 at halftime. Le'Veon Bell was maddening. He was being all patient and stuff. The Chiefs had 3 points at halftime.
It felt like minus 3.
Yeah, it did. The Chiefs' offense should have been punished for what they were doing.
They did. They had a safety.
I guess that's a good point.
Wasn't that the first play
right,
of the
and
game,
it should
too?
Have said, it was very early. It's not the very first play. I guess it was 12-3 at halftime, right? Is that accurate? I gotta check myself before I wreck myself here. Yeah. 12-3 at halftime. The defense gave up 10 points. And also had a turnover. Marcus Peters had a turnover, and man, I was so confused. Because I didn't know what to do. Like, I wanted to cheer for him, but I couldn't remember if he stood up for the anthem or not. Or if he cursed in his post-game interviews, so I was like, Marcus Peters interception! Oh no, can I cheer for this? Am I allowed to cheer for this? Oh no, he sat down for the anthem again. During the anthem. It's not really for the anthem. Whatever. Oh, he curses in his post-game interview sometimes. Not really at anybody or aggressively at all, but, you know, just sort of like as a filler word. We'll play some of that for you in a little bit. A lot to talk about today. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City. This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
If you want to throw bread at me for $5, you can 100% do that.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I think that's an open offer perpetually. Like, if you ever just see me in public and you have, like, a roll or, like, a slice of bread, maybe a loaf, not like a hard loaf. Not like a crusty loaf of bread, but just like a nice soft...
Like a baguette spear?
Yeah, no baguette spearing me, please. But if you have some soft bread that you want to throw at me for $5, I would do that. I would accept your money. I'm having a really hard time with my computer currently, which is very awesome. I'm just trying to tell people that the show exists and that you can watch it through Twitter. And it's just giving me a lot of problems. But we're back, and it's okay. Listening to Almost Entirely Sports here on ESPN Kansas City, 99.3 FM, 1510 AM. Add those stations to your car's presets. Whenever every other station in the city is on a commercial break, maybe we won't be. And there's something for you, right? As always, also, you can find the show on Facebook Live, and we have the podcasts everywhere. If you're ever looking for Almost Entirely Sports, use the parentheses. Although, frankly, if you just search Entirely Sports, you'll probably find the show. It should be literally everywhere you can find podcasts. Also, all the Chiefs content always pops up on the Roughing the Kicker feed. So thank you if you're listening through that. But also, you might be missing some stuff whenever we go outside of the realm of the Chiefs, which, you know, isn't as good, but is still okay radio. It's fine. It's passable. Back into the comment section, because, I mean, we're just crushing it today on Facebook. Clinton came back and said, I'm not so confident in them locking up the one seed as easily as everyone makes it sound. One more loss and the Steelers would be the one, and their hardest upcoming game is the Texans or Patriots, both in December. That is really interesting. I would not have had the Steelers as a team likely to lose to the Jags last week, so I think the Steelers are still very flawed. I also think that the Chiefs are probably going to finish the season at 13-3. I think there's a really reasonable chance that's where they end up. Maybe better, frankly, because I think two of those losses that I kind of expect, you're either losing maybe at Oakland, maybe at Denver, maybe at Dallas. Those are the three most difficult games remaining for the Chiefs. I'm guessing they would only lose two of those. And maybe there's an unexpected loss in there somewhere. You get a stinker put up on the board. I wouldn't be shocked by that. But I'm relatively optimistic about all that. Also, Clinton points out that C.J. Spiller has been brought back by the Kansas City Chiefs. He asks how long until they fire him again. They will fire him again as soon as Charkendrick West clears concussion protocol, and probably not a moment later. And that is why, by the way, because Charkendrick West left the game pretty early on with a head injury. I'm guessing that the Chiefs don't trust Kareem or Akeem Hunt a ton in pass protection. Maybe they trust C.J. Spiller more. Even if they do trust Kareem Hunt, he had a couple of bad plays in pass protection last week, or yesterday, I guess. Even if they do trust Kareem Hunt, you don't want to have your leading rusher, your league's leading rusher out there trying to flip over some defensive end if you can avoid it.
Do you think he just sleeps like under the goalposts at this point?
C.J. Spiller?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
or at least somewhere in the facility.
I think he has a locker that they just sort of like put
tuck
a curtain
in.
Over.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he still commutes from an actual home, and he doesn't live like a hobbit in a like underneath a hill.
Well, I was just thinking he lived there so that way, you know, when they cut him, he just goes back there and hibernates until they need him again.
I do wonder if he's lived in Kansas City this whole time. That's an interesting question because, yeah, like what he's been. This is the third time he's been signed, right? Fourth time. I think he's been signed by the Chiefs four times in the last like 3 months. What does he do? Where does he live, and what does he do whenever the Chiefs sign him for an hour? I mean, I guess he just sort of packs like a hotel bag at this point. He has to know that he's not sticking around long unless.
Well, I've got the dates on the first few times he was signed and cut. Do you want those real quick?
Sure.
Let's see. He was cut September 2nd, signed September 3rd, cut September 5th, signed September 6th, and then cut on the 16th. So
this is his fourth time being signed by the Chiefs then.
And this is the longest period in which he hasn't. So the other times probably he was just, you know, going back home. And then as soon as he packed up everything and was walking outside the door, his phone rang.
Right.
And then he had to go and put everything back in his apartment.
Right.
And then he had to pack it all up again the next day.
This
so
is
this
what
time
wondering.
He might have actually made it like to the truck.
I feel like this time he probably was surprised to be called back because he was off the roster for so long.
About a month, basically.
Yeah. It's good work by us. We really dug to the bottom of that mystery.
You're welcome.
Remember whenever I said that that Kareem Hunt would have more yards from scrimmage than Le'Veon Bell would in that game that happened yesterday? That didn't work. Although Kareem Hunt has had 100 yards from scrimmage total every single game this year, and every single game is an NFL career, obviously. That's pretty sweet. I'm really frustrated about how the Chiefs managed the run game. This is a thing that I just... I know I shouldn't be surprised. It's also something that I haven't heard being brought up as one of the main reasons this game went to bleep so quickly. So here I am blazing a new trail. I'm a freaking pioneer, I guess. It's so aggravating because I watched a lot of that Jag-Steelers game last week, and Leonard Fournette was just trampling them. And I know I shouldn't be surprised by Andy Reid getting away from his running game in favor of a passing game that's doing literally nothing. I know that I shouldn't be surprised by that. And I guess I'm not surprised. I'm just kind of bummed about it. You know what I could use? You know what I think would help us out here? I need a little Marcus Peters energy. Marcus Peters spoke after the game, and I'm pretty confident that I know every single take that people are going to have on his post-game interviews forever now, which is either to laugh at the way he talks, which is kind of weirdly dehumanizing, though, like to do that, like to be like, oh, listen to him, he talks funny. Because he doesn't talk like I do, so he's dumb. I'm like, let's go ahead and turn that one down a little bit. Every old white guy, maybe let him live. But I genuinely like listening to Marcus Peters talk. And somebody called in to the 810 postgame show yesterday, and was just like, I think it's sad that we have to listen to Marcus Peters curse whenever he knows this is going out into the media. Do you not remember this?
Oh,
yeah. This is the one call that I remember happening last night.
I don't remember this at all.
It was very quick, and Danny and Jack and Frank did not respond to that part of his call.
I'm sure.
They just were like, nah, let's not. He did something else after that, and they just talked about that and then didn't go back to how it's sad that Marcus Peters curses. And I was the one that edited the audio clip once it got sent back from the Chiefs locker room into the end of the station. I had to do all of the little bleeping that you'll hear here in a second. And I am telling you unequivocally that it is worth the 5 minutes it took me to clean up this audio to actually get an honest representation of a player in his post-game interviews. So that is why I genuinely enjoy listening to Marcus Peters, because whenever I hear Marcus Peters, I know we're actually hearing Marcus Peters. We'll hear from Derek Johnson a little bit later on here, and I believe we're getting a very genuine Derek Johnson as well. But I appreciate unfiltered, especially when, by the way, when you're essentially getting into the face of these players in their bathroom after losing a big nationally televised sports event where they didn't do their job well enough. It's really weird. The dynamic of like getting in locker rooms and getting your phone in a guy's face is pretty strange.
You think they'd have like an interview room or something to do that in?
I don't know why that doesn't exist. The NFL is made of money, and I've had this thought several times. You don't go into the showers to interview these players.
All access.
Why would you not just also let them get out of the locker room, and then the media just waits in the interview room,
or they have like a little camera set up in the shower at like eye level,
right?
And then there's a microphone in there too, and this all the reporters are huddled around like a TV or whatever with their own microphone.
But they have a podium. Whenever we get the audio from Andy Reid and Alex Smith, it comes from the podium. Why not just line up some, pick like five guys and just, all right, Andy, then Alex, then Kareem, and then Marcus, and then DJ, and then whatever.
I'm sure television broadcast stuff.
Why wouldn't you just do that, though? Instead of getting in their bathroom. Anyway. Marcus Peters has my permission to speak his actual self, even if it means that I have to edit these audio clips.
It seemed like you had some bad bounces in this one. Did it feel like it was...
Who? As meaning the team?
Just anybody in the team. There were a couple plays where it seemed like balls on the hands, and then it just didn't go your way. Did it feel that way?
Hell yeah. You feel me? I mean, that the last play, the last little touchdown or whatever, should have been an interception. You feel me? But it comes with the game of football. Can't do about it. We know we could have stopped the run and got off the field early on third downs in the first half, but can't do nothing about it right now. We took an L. We go back to the drawing board, get ready for Thursday.
Is it tough knowing what Le'Veon did last year and to have kind of the same thing happen this time?
Nope. See, y'all keep worried about last year. We were just worried about stopping him today. You feel me? What's in the past don't matter no more. It's a new day. So, you feel me? We came out here. We just didn't get it done today.
What do you think led to his success again?
Ran the ball good. You feel me? That's why they need to pay us that. You feel me?
DJ said it. You know, it's tough to admit this as a linebacker, but he felt, in his opinion, that they were tougher in the way that they ran the ball today.
Oh, no, for sure. There ain't nobody tougher than us. You feel me? We could have made some more plays to execute of us stopping the run. You feel me? But it wasn't nobody with them being tougher than us. Ain't nobody coming in here bullying us for sure. You feel me? We started slow, and they started fast, and it was part of football. We kind of came out in the second half and got our flow back going, and that was it. But ain't nobody being tougher than us, you feel me? And that's not saying, like, you know, they was trying to, you feel me, come in our house, but, you feel me, we going to fight, man. We ain't no punks for sure, so.
Just a quick turnaround. Help, hurt, how do you view that?
Hey, man, it's Thursday night football, you feel me? Whenever we get to play football, you feel me, it's ready. We going to be ready to go, though, for sure.
What's that interception that you had? What did you see? What
was it? I made the play. Appreciate y'all. Thanks.
It's Marcus Peters. I love that. I genuinely do. Like, I also like listening to Laurent Duvernay Tardif, who's a doctor who with a French, who's French. A French doctor. Beards was having a identity crisis during that because he was just Googling and players. Oh, God, he said, I'm older than Marcus Peters. Marcus Peters is 24. And are you 25?
Yep.
It's weird to me that you're 3 years older than I am. That's really strange for some reason. But, like, me, Beards, and Marcus Peters are all in the same age cluster. So I guess it makes sense that you and I would have a different opinion on how he carries himself or whatever. But I just, like, you, like, Chris Conley is also, I feel like we get unfiltered Chris Conley. I love that. It's very different. That, whatever, different upbringings and backgrounds, whatever. I just like that. I want she bleep. There's no cursing in there. That was very clean. Don't make a liner out of it, though, because I don't want to risk that. But I like, you feel me, like, whatever. Just that I like that you feel me. That's genuine for Marcus Peters as much as I like hearing Chris Conley talk about his, like, film career that he wants to have. Like, I like that. And there's some stuff in there that, you know, where Peters says, like, oh, there's nobody tougher than us. Yeah, I get that. He's going to say that. That's his demeanor. I don't agree with that. They got pretty well ran over by the Steelers. And yeah, like, Marcus Peters is not a good tackler. I got it. I'm with you. He's also, I don't know, like, one of the five best young corners in football. If not just one of the five best corners. Super cool with Marcus Peters on my football team. 100%. I just like these genuine. I hope that never goes away. I hope we never have to deal with a not genuine Marcus Peters. I think I would have loved Terrell Owens. I wasn't covering football at all when Terrell Owens was still in the league. I only really know him retrospectively. But I feel like I would have liked that. Although he was kind of a showman in a way that I don't think Marcus Peters is putting on a character at all. I think he's just being himself, and I appreciate it. I think I'm going to have a coughing fit. So, Beards, here, take. Can you give yourself a shot clock? All right, give yourself a shot clock. You get 24 seconds to. I might be okay. I got to have a drink. You have 20. Shut off my microphone. You have 24 seconds to preview the NBA season.
Oh, gosh. We're doing this again?
But very concisely. Please be better than last time.
Oh,
you
okay.
You do it in 24 seconds and not 15 minutes. Go.
Cool. This is very short-sighted. NBA starts tomorrow. Cleveland, Boston. I don't know if LeBron's playing, which That could be bad. Oh, Josh wants his mic on now. Cool.
What games are you looking forward to the most? Turn my mic off again.
That one. Oklahoma, Golden State. Or not Golden State. Oklahoma, New... No.
Truly horrendous.
I had no preparation. You threw that on me and I was not prepared.
Truly horrendous.
I will attest. That wasn't great.
And that can be good. What games are you looking forward to? That one. And then also, damn it. Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Beards, for your, thank you for stalling so I could get a drink and stop my near coughing fit.
Give me a little more warning next time.
Do you want my coughing fit to give you some warning? My coughing didn't have a warning on it. A couple quick stories around the rest of the NFL. We'll come back to the Chiefs. We'll come back to Derek Johnson and everything. Talk a little more about the game. Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone. That freaking sucks. Mike McCarthy said just, I don't know, about an hour ago that Rodgers is going to require surgery for his broken collarbone, which probably means that his season is fully over. And that makes me sad. Odell Beckham getting hurt made me sad. Aaron Rodgers getting hurt makes me sad. J.J. Watt kind of, whatever. Rodgers and Odell Beckham are two of my favorite players in football. It just sucks. I like watching football better whenever Aaron Rodgers is playing. I guess, you know, there's whatever outlook for the Chiefs. It's one less thing to be afraid of. Like, now the best possible quarterback you'd be facing in the Super Bowl is, like, Matt Ryan or Dak Prescott or Carson Wentz, who you've already beaten, or Kirk Cousins, who you've already beaten, or Dak Prescott, who you're probably going to beat on the road a little bit later on this year. So, you know, I if you want to be the home fan first, which I usually am, you know, there's a positive spin for the home team, I guess, but it bums me out because I like watching Aaron Rodgers play football. Also, the Packers are done. Stop it. Stop it if you think they have any chance to do anything. Here, save this clip, Beards. Play this one back whenever the Packers either don't make the playoffs or get eliminated in the wild card round. The Packers will not win a playoff game with, Brett Hundley? Hold on, I think that's his name. Yeah, there we go, hold on. I think it's Brett Hundley.
Generic replacement player on 2K number 2.
The Packers will not win a playoff game with any quarterback currently on their roster playing quarterback for them unless Aaron Rodgers comes back. Now, there's nothing I want more. Non-Chiefs division of things I want in football. Nothing I want more, non-Chiefs division, than a Tony Romo and the Green Bay Packers versus Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC Championship game. There is nothing that I would be more jazzed for, non-Chiefs division. The hype for that game would be incredible. Also, the game would be so exciting. the game, Beards, please look up. God, I wanted to throw to a break after my joke, and you would not look up. We're not gonna break after my joke anymore. I wanted to, but you just would not look up. I raised my hand and everything, and you were reading some bull bleep about the NBA in your computer, weren't you?
Nope.
What were you looking at?
Twitter in general.
The sound of me smacking my microphone. What I was going to say is... I really, really want Tony Romo and the Packers versus Dak Prescott and the Cowboys in the NFC Championship game. And that game would be so huge that on Monday morning, people would barely even talk about the fact that the Chiefs got blown out at home by the Steelers.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I'm not calling for Alex Smith to get shipped out of town.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I will carry Alex Smith to the airport on my back, like a koala.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Welcome back. Almost Entirely Sports, ESPN Kansas City, 99.3 FM, 1510 AM, 1510.com. Search for ESPN 1510 in the TuneIn app, or go to the Facebook Live stream, facebook.com/ESPN Kansas City. Also, anywhere you get podcasts. Adrian Peterson scored 2 touchdowns yesterday in his first game for the Cardinals, and I don't know anything. He was over. It was over. Adrian Peterson was done. And he was great yesterday for the Cardinals. He was just fantastic. It was mind-boggling. That team is Carson Palmer, Adrian Peterson, Larry Fitzgerald. In 2017. What a crush in my fantasy league in 2009. Holy cow, though. Also, quick national story. Literally, like, let's take 30 seconds. Beard sent this to me earlier as a Deadspin article that I hope I can... I hope I can do the picture justice. The headline on Deadspin is, Jets fan who stands for national anthem sits on American flag. And there's a picture of a guy at Sunday's Patriots-Jets game. And he's sitting on what appears to be some sort of turf. And he's wearing a shirt. And
the shirt's the best part of this.
I didn't notice this until just now. I did not notice the shirt until just now. Listen to this. He's wearing a Jets green shirt. And on the back, on the top, it just has the Jets logo. And underneath it, in big, bold, white letters, it says, I stand for the national anthem. He is literally sitting on an American flag in this photo. And it's a perfect picture.
Very important point from the comment section of the post as well. He's drinking beer with a straw.
What?
Yep.
Well, he is.
Yeah.
I've never seen that before.
By the way, if you're watching on the Facebook live stream, you just got a great reaction from Josh to that.
You got to watch the show on Facebook.
Tease. That's our tease. I'm actually watching the delayed version right now to see the reaction.
Now I want to watch my delayed reaction.
It's about to happen.
Itself. Here we go. I'm watching. This is good. Oh, it's loading. Here we go.
You're really hunkered down there.
It's good. I really did get nice and hunkered. It's just a wonderful photo.
It's even better the fact it's a Jets fan.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect is what it is. That's the whole national story. Hey guys, AFC West's freaking bonkers, huh? Let's give that a lap. The Chiefs lose to the Steelers yesterday. Meanwhile, in the AFC West, the Chargers get a W, and that is it. And the Chargers only get a W because they were playing the Raiders. The Raiders and their unstoppable vaunted offense put up a 16 burger at home. Against the Chargers. Not a great defense. Certainly a defense the Chiefs dealt with just fine. And I know that the Raiders lost last week to the Ravens without Derek Carr. And the week before, they lost Derek Carr within that game. But, and this sort of surprised me to actually put all this together. The Raiders have lost 4 games in a row. That's crazy.
Are they for real?
I think the Raiders might not be for real.
Is Joe Flacco elite?
I don't think, no. He's been so freaking bad. The Raiders are 2-4. And then the real cherry on the poop Sunday, pun not intended but totally worked, Sunday. A cherry on top of a really terrible Sunday for the AFC West. The Giants went 2 Mile High, went to Denver, and just trounced the Broncos.
When I was saving the file last night for Sunday Night Football, I legitimately typed Broncos versus Jets, and I had to go, wait a second.
Right.
That's true, but not really.
The Jets, or God, did it? The Giants, excuse me. I hate the Jets, by the way. I hate that there's a really good chance they're going to win 5 games after my crusade about how freaking dumb it was that their over-under was 4.5. But the Giants and the Browns were the only winless teams remaining, I believe. Oh, and the Niners, who are still winless. And the Giants went to Denver, where the Broncos have been very good this year. And they sprained Emmanuel Sanders' ankle, and Trevor Siemian has some sort of shoulder thing. Emmanuel Sanders probably isn't going to play this week against the Chargers, another intra-divisional game there. Two intra-divisional games this week for the AFC West. And the Giants just handled them like all game. They won every quarter except for the fourth, and the game was just over. It was a 23-10 win for the Giants. It's just amazing. Trevor Siemian threw the ball 50 times. It's buck wild here in the AFC West. The Broncos are 3-2. The Raiders are 2-4. The Chargers are 2-4. And the Chiefs, after losing a really painful game yesterday that they should have won just with a single completion that Alex Smith should have made, which, again, fair or not, that's the thing that gets stuck in my beak. A game that they should have won that on a pass that Alex Smith should have completed. The Chiefs now a measly 5-1, one of 2 5-1 teams in football, with the Philadelphia Eagles, who they delivered that single loss to. The 5-1 Chiefs are now lording over a 3-2 Broncos team, a 2-4 Chargers team, and a 2-4 Raiders team. And there's a perfectly reasonable chance that next week the Chiefs are 6-1, the Chargers are 3-4, the Broncos are 3-3, and the Raiders are 2-5. There's a very good chance of that happening. And I love it. I think that's just wonderful. But it's just completely bonkers. So for all of the bad things that happened against the Steelers yesterday, the Broncos lose at home to a terrible Giants team, and they lose Emmanuel Sanders, at least probably for this week. The Raiders lose and just look like garbage. Their offense isn't working. Amari Cooper has been an absolute ghost. I don't know if he's caught a pass in like 3 weeks. It's something insane like that. He's been terrible. It's just fascinating. So the Chiefs, I still think are, I guess, the best team in the AFC. Maybe you want to pass it off to the Steelers. This is a strange thing. Here's where this is bizarre. Here's where I have some inconsistencies, I suppose. If you gave me the Chiefs versus everybody, literally any team, and the Steelers versus literally any team, I would have the Chiefs winning way more games than I have the Steelers winning, if that makes sense. Like, if you just gave me... If the Chiefs had to play every team in the AFC except for the Steelers, and the Steelers had to play every team in the AFC except for the Chiefs, I would probably pick the Chiefs in every single game. Maybe not to the Patriots, whatever. Their defense is terrible, though, which is hilarious. And I would pick for the Steelers to lose to 3, 4, 5 teams in the AFC, I think. Ballpark, but it's close. Point remains. Head-to-head? I don't know if I can pick the Chiefs over the Steelers at any point for the rest of my lifetime. I don't know. I would take the Chiefs against everybody else. Maybe not the Patriots, whatever. But I would certainly have the Chiefs winning more games than the Steelers, given a common schedule. But that head-to-head matchup terrifies me. I can only, and I feel no shame in that matchup terrifying me. Derek Johnson talked for quite a while yesterday. It was like 4.5 minutes or something like that. He pontificated a little bit on what happened last night against the Steelers. And again, just felt like a pretty genuine response from a frustrated veteran player. Let's hear from Derek Johnson last night after the game as reporters bombarded him in his bathroom.
They say never take anything personal, but when they run the ball like they did on you, you have to. Does this count more than one win? I mean, more than one loss? Nah, not at all. Should it light another fire? It will. And we'll respond the right way. That's only time will tell. So.
Was it just shedding blocks? I mean, you guys know what they're going to run. Was it just shedding blocks, being gaps out? What was it?
Bro, they were a tougher team. Tougher team today. And we knew the mindset before the game. We knew it. We knew they weren't afraid of us. They beat us twice last year. Regardless of what happened with them, with the Jags, they hats off to them. You know, they were a tough team today, and it'll light a fire with our whole team going forward. This just one loss. You know, we don't want to make it bigger than what it is. But, you know, like I said, at the end of the day, I'm in the middle of that defense, so I'm just a part of it like everybody else.
Was there a point in the game when you guys had to, in certain situations, add an extra guy to the box? Did you try a lot of even boxing?
You know what? They didn't do anything we didn't practice. They just stayed with it. They stayed with it. And at the end of the day, it wasn't gaping holes. Getting off a block too late on this, not fitting on the right gap on this, not getting over quick enough, not recognizing what they're going to do. I mean, their game plan was very simple. Go punch the Chiefs in the mouth, see what they can do. We didn't respond well enough early. Got better during the game at key moments, but not good enough.
My last thing is, on the 3rd and 2, you guys can get off the field. Do you feel like you guys were in a good position to stop that? Or were you guys keyed in on the run because of the way they've been running the ball all day?
Say that again?
On the 3rd and 2, they scored the touchdown on.
I got you.
Antonio Brown scored. Were y'all in good position?
We were in good position. This is football, so yeah. Things happen, and you say, man, you know, I wish he caught it.
Right.
That's football, man. That happens. It's a few times this year other people drop picks on us, or they drop the ball when they were supposed to catch it. So that happens. The deal is you play good enough where those things don't hurt you. And we didn't play good enough today. We needed every single, you know, thing to go our way at the end. It doesn't happen like that, and that's why we lost.
Is it frustrating because, you know, in your time in the NFL, pretty much the road's kind of been through 3 quarterbacks, right? It was through Peyton Manning before he retired, and then Roethlisberger and Brady. Those have been kind of the 3 guys you had to get through in order to get where you wanted to go. Is it, you know, like, for a team to just seemingly get you every time, does it get frustrating that you know that that's one of the teams you have to get through?
You know, it's frustrating losing, not really putting the Steelers on a pedestal or saying it was more of Roethlisberger. Today wasn't Big Ben won a game for him. Their old line should all get game balls. They did a great job, and like I said, it's gonna light a fire in us. And you know what? At times you need that, regardless of how we feel today. We wish it didn't happen. It happened.
You said that you felt like their game plan was pretty straightforward, and that they've gotten to you 3 similar ways, right? Le'Veon Bell's carried the workload. Have you guys tried different things in each of those 3 games and come up with kind of similar results, or do you feel like maybe it's time to try something different maybe if you see them again in the future?
You know what? Playing defense, you got a lot of pride in stopping the run, period. I don't care what kind of style of defense you play. Stop the run. Every defense we have, everybody has a gap. Regardless of if they pull this way or pull that way or slant this way, everybody has a gap. And you got to play it the right way. And we didn't play, they were tougher than us today. And that's not good to repeat, I should say.
Derek Johnson after the game last night. A couple of things stood out to me. Really, there were 2 things. One of them is something we talked about earlier, but we'll get to that in a second. The first thing I want to talk about is that Derek Johnson said that the Steelers had a pretty simple game plan. They weren't blowing the Chiefs off the ball, just getting little gaps, little creases that Le'Veon Bell would get through and keep the ball moving. And they stayed with it. him saying that they stayed with it, it really bugged me. Not because anything he said was wrong, because it's something the Chiefs didn't do. I don't know what the Chiefs' game plan was in this game offensively, but part of that game plan had to have been make the Steelers pay through the nose for their bad run defense that we know they have, because the Jags showed it all last week. The Jaguars exploited the Steelers' run defense problems. Make that evident in this game. And the Chiefs never did. Beards, can you pull out Kareem Hunt's audio from last night also? I don't remember it, what he said. I don't know if we even played it on the, post-game show. It doesn't matter. I'd like to hear it. Everybody post-game was pretty concise, so it will just be like a minute, I think. I'm curious what he said about how he was being used. But the idea that the Steelers had a simple game plan, that they just were going to run the ball down the Chiefs' throats, be the more physical team, hit them in the mouth, it's really frustrating, because I would love to know what the Chiefs' game plan was, and if they failed to stick with it, if that's something that Derek Johnson was kind of, I don't want to say insinuating, but something that he was kind of thinking, like, yeah, we got beat by a consistency that the Steelers kept putting out there, and the Chiefs didn't ever show any sort of realistic game plan. The Chiefs' game plan every week offensively needs to be get the ball to Travis Kelce, get the ball to Tyreek Hill, get the ball to Kareem Hunt. The Chiefs failed to do that in every way. I know that Kareem Hunt ended up with a big long reception at the end. What was that, Beards? Kareem Hunt audio, cool. We'll get that in a second. I know that Kareem Hunt ended up with 110 yards total, by the way. And that's 37-yard long reception at the end, and he got some yards. But Travis Kelce, 4 for 37. Tyreek Hill, 5 for 34. Kareem Hunt on the ground, 9 carries for 21 yards. You have to be out here making plays. There has to be a consistency with getting the ball to your playmakers. And the Chiefs didn't do it. And I don't know what their game plan was, but their game plan 100% had to include getting the ball to those three guys, and they didn't do it. Let's hear from Kareem Hunt. 9 carries, 21 yards last night. Ended up with over 100 yards from scrimmage, but the running game just never got off the ground.
Honestly, we were just, you know, hurting ourselves, and we just got to keep it going.
What do you think led to the self-inflicted issues there?
Honestly, we just got to come out, you know, play fast and play harder.
How do you bounce back? Now, that's probably the first time that someone's really held you in check all year, and the run game in general. What do you do to
honestly, we just got to go back, you know, learn from our mistakes and just be ready to come back out. You know, like I said, we got a target on our back. Everybody going to give us their best shot, and we're just going to keep it going.
It seemed like Steelers were right up in the middle of everything you guys were running on offense, mostly anyway. It seemed like they, you know, the screens, most of the runs, it seems like they anticipated plenty of you guys.
Honestly, they just, you know, they played a good game. They came out, you know, had a good game. Pretty much it.
With guys like Chris out, Albert out, I mean, how much does that change what you guys try and do out there?
You know, we got a couple key injuries, and we just got to keep playing ball. You know, next man up, and you're going to learn from it. Those guys are going to grow. We all got to grow as a team and, you know, just come back and get better.
Well, that was a waste of time.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
The headline of this was Spencer Ware's injury adds to offensive uncertainty. And one of the comments just says, nope!
With Joshua Briscoe.
Okay, Jack R. Powers. Fine. Bleep me. I'm a dope. Durf.
On ESPN Kansas City.
I'm not here to toot my own horn. I mean, I am. But remember when I was like, yeah, Spencer Ware would definitely be nice to still have in this offense. Remember when I was like, hey, man, Jeremy Macklin would be nice to still have on this offense because, like, injuries and stuff. Not here to toot my own horn. Beard's just here to toot it for me. It would just... It would be nice. It never hurts to have more offensive weapons. And again, I'm pretty optimistic about DeMarcus Robinson. And if the Chiefs had Spencer Ware, Kareem Hunt would not have been this good yet. At least not used this much, whatever. But it'd be nice to still have just more weapons in this offense. A couple things from Twitter as we wrap up. Oh, quick first programming note. No show tomorrow because over here on ESPN Kansas City, there is a game 4 of the ALCS, Yankees and Astros. And we may not have a show on Wednesday unless the Astros sweep the Yankees. And then I think we do have a show. So if the Astros win today and tomorrow, then we probably do have a show on Wednesday. But if the Yankees win a game at all, no show Wednesday either. Definitely no show on Tuesday.
We're slowly working on just getting rid of baseball altogether.
We are trying, as a show, to banish baseball.
Ending it. Although we did give them that great idea on Friday about giving them all cocaine.
It's a great idea. How much more fun would baseball be if every player and manager and fan was just coked up out of their mind every day? Every game. So much more interesting. Right now on MLB Network, they're talking about, ooh, will Justin Upton opt out of his contract? It's really fascinating how baseball is a regional sport fully. And the NBA has some star power in the offseason. This offseason's been interesting. The NFL is the most national sport, but the reason that I'm sad about like Aaron Rodgers getting hurt is because guys like that keep it a national sport. Peyton Manning is on my other TV currently, back when he was with the Colts. You would tune in for Peyton Manning. You would tune in for Ben Roethlisberger. You would tune in for Tom Brady. You still probably do. I would think that we're going to see a future of, well, you tune in for Carson Wentz, and you tune in for Dak Prescott, and you tune in for Deshaun Watson, and you tune in for Patrick Mahomes. Alex Smith. Sorry, I don't had something on my throat. But that future will show up. They're going to be good quarterbacks. But the philosophy of so many teams are just like, don't screw this up, is really sad. It's a really frustrating way to watch football. Because like Josh McCown can occasionally beat the Patriots. It almost happened yesterday. By just like, hey, make like two plays, don't bleep this up, and we'll call it good. A couple of tweets. Ivan says, Father Time will catch up eventually. He hasn't played a full season in a while, and he's 32. This is whenever I realized I should have figured out who he's talking about. He's talking about Alex Smith? I wonder if that's an Alex Smith thing. I'm trying to open it up, but I can't yet. So, come on, tweet deck. Nope, here we go. I clicked it. Oh, man, it wasn't even in response to anything. It was about Alex Smith. We'll talk about Alex Smith here as we close up the show. Also from Miles, though. So, what are the chances that Reed ran a simpler game plan this week and is holding the real one off for the playoffs? I might just be a bit optimistic. 0%. Big ol' goose egg. Like if you heard Derek Johnson just then, the Steelers ran a very simple game plan, and it worked. The Chiefs could have run a simple game plan. They didn't have any offensive game plan that I figured out. And that's kind of messed up. Usually I can at least figure out what they've like audibled to. I got nothing. Nothing yesterday. By way of, this was the plan. So I have no idea. I have no idea what the plan was. Ivan said that Adrian Peterson was the Father Time reference. I thought Father Time was here. I thought Father Time was here treating him like Son Time. Because Adrian Peterson hit his kid. It was real bad. You shouldn't do that. Don't hit your kids. Let's pretend you're talking about Alex Smith, though, because actually somebody said yesterday on Twitter, said, oh, one more game like this, and I think Andy's going to go to the new kid. And that's just simply not going to happen. No, not. There's no. The only way that Patrick Mahomes sees the field this season is if Alex Smith gets hurt. Or I guess like, you know, arrested or something for like money laundering. Cause I feel like that's the only crime that Alex Smith would commit. Not to say that I think he would launder money, just that. Never mind. I just don't really see him like I don't think you can think of NFL quarterbacks seem like unlikely people to commit crimes.
Alex Smith seems like the kind of guy that like accidentally stole a pencil from school or something and then got really upset about it.
He still feels bad about it.
Yeah, he still feels the guilt from that 20 years later.
That's pretty good.
It's like he just walked out with it in his backpack and he forgot about it.
Yeah, he took a test and he just put it in his backpack instinctively.
Teacher,
yeah.
Can I borrow a pencil?
Yep. He'd be that guy too. He had to borrow a pencil. There's no way that Alex Smith is going to the bench this season. It's just simply not going to happen. Literally every game from here on out could be exactly like yesterday, and he would play out the season 100%. I hope that's not the case, because a conversation we were having before this game was about Alex Smith's trade value. Somebody was on Twitter asking me, saying, hey, you know, Field Yates was talking about this on the Fantasy Football Podcast, talking about, Alex Smith's value right now is probably like a first-round pick plus next year. Don't worry about it, man. Alex Smith is your quarterback this whole season. Don't tempt me. And that's for the best, by the way. I'm with it. But yesterday was truly maddening. Thursday's going to be super interesting. We will at least have a show on Thursday. We're not here tomorrow. We might be here on Wednesday if the Astros sweep the Yankees. But we'll at least be here on Thursday to preview Chiefs Raiders, where I think the Chiefs are probably going to score 30 points. But I said that this week, so what do I know? Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.